I think I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl,
where this is our last episode for a couple of months. Yes. Summer break, babies.
Yeah, baby. I am Karen from the Catalina Islands.
And I'm Mandy of Gadsley, South Carolina.
It's oddly specific. I'm excited.
More on that later.
Our least favorite portion of the podcast, but it's okay. We only have to do this one more time. Yay! For several weeks. In our timeline, it is May 25th. And in y'all's timeline, according to Mandy, it is the best month of the year. June 2nd. Happy Pride, everybody.
Happy Pride. So half of my family was born in June, and I was with them tonight. And so we had to discuss how, like, they agree June babies are the best babies. my grandfather, and my uncle, and my stepdad are all June babies. So we're
just
like,
saying,
it's our
you have
season.
Literal babies that are born all in the same month in February.
And Harry Styles. It's.
I'm just saying.
A good runner up, but February's I wouldn't be here month. To enjoy those February babies if I wasn't born.
Mandy is advocating for her own birth month, and I'm advocating for the children. I'm just saying.
Listen, I'm selfish. I'm a Gemini. But I'm also a Cancer. I was born on the cusp, who are nurturers, I think, by nature. And so
those are very different.
I know. That's why I have to have it's the Gemini of having two personalities. But it's a Gemini and a Cancer all wrapped up into one.
Oh,
crazy.
I love it. Well, as Mandy mentioned, it is our last episode before our break. This is the end of season 2, part 1. We will be back August 25th. With new episodes. Make sure you subscribe or follow or whatever it's called on whatever platform you're listening to, so they'll remind you when we have a new episode.
We'll remind you on social media too.
This week in fangirling, Mandy.
So we started out the week with the Straight Up with Stassi tour. That was a lot of fun. We ate at this really nice. It was like super nice. It was in kind of like a old looking building. It didn't look like it was going to be much, but it's this really nice Italian restaurant called Italian. So it was A-T-A-L-I-A-N.
Okay.
Because you're in the South and people, we want to go get Italian. I think that's why they named it that. So I thought that was clever. And then we walked over to the Tabernacle, which is like an old church turned music venue. Taylor Strecker, who is a friend of Stassi's, did like a little opening comedy session she's hilarious. Stassi came out. She talked a lot about Scandoval because she used to be friends with everybody. And we had like a balcony seat right over the stage. And at the end, they do like a little karaoke thing, which made me very uncomfortable. I don't ask me to get up and dance in a crowd. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. But Stassi's husband was on the stage dancing, and he kind of looked up and he saw Josh, and they had like a bro moment where they just like held their hands out, and it was like, another man. Wow. They exist here. And so they had like a solidarity moment that was really funny. And you can, we were talking about this today because Josh is going to a concert tomorrow night. And he said on the ticket, it has an end time of 8:30, which you don't normally see like an end time on a ticket. He said, they're just playing one album. And I realized it's because Stassi is almost exactly a year older than me. So she's our age. She's like, she was born a couple of days either before or after me and a year. So, and these bands are either our age or older than us. They don't want to be out until 11 o'clock performing anywhere. They want to be done by 8:30 and home and get to go to bed. So I like that trend that things are ending earlier.
Thank God.
Yeah. So her show ended at like 8:30, 8:45, which we did have to drive about an hour and a half home, but it was nice. It was nice, even though it was a Sunday night. So I did some reading this week. I've continued reading The Scarlet Veil by Shelby Mahurin. I'm not going to really talk about it because I'm at the point where anything I could say to you is a spoiler. So I'm not going to talk about it. Was it yesterday morning? Day before yesterday, I get an email about the blog blitz that I was participating in for Mrs. Nash's Ashes by Sarah Adler. I forgot that I was participating in that. So I frantically went and I got the audiobook to listen while I was working. And then when I got off work, I was frantically reading to finish it on my Kindle. It was so freaking good, though. It was a 5-star read for me. And I don't give out 5 stars easily. Mm-hmm. If you like go through my Goodreads, I'm a 3 to 4 stars person for most books. So to give you like a backstory, Millie is taking 3 tablespoons of her best friend to reunite her best friend with her long lost love. So Mrs. Nash has obviously passed away, and her next of kin has allowed Millie, her much younger roommate, to take some of her remains, because she's been cremated, obviously, as like a remembrance thing. So shortly before she passed, she sits Millie down and starts telling her about this woman that she was in love with in the 1940s and 50s. And they choose to separate mostly because of the times, but just circumstances. They were in the Navy and that's where they met. They had to go home. And you learn a little more about the why in the book. So I don't want to give that away. But they do exchange letters until one of them thinks that the other has died. They get like a return that says deceased. And so she spends the rest of her life. She's like 98. It's Mrs. Nash. Is the survivor kind of pining, and she wants her remains taken to their place, which is a beach in Florida. So the book starts with Millie in an airport in Washington, D.C., and there's this like creeper hitting on her because she's a former child star. And she had a really embarrassing situation where when she was 14, they made her put on like a bikini for an episode, and she was apparently a lot of people's like sexual awakening, which is fine when it's a 13-year-old boy. You know, whatever. I mean, you're going to have a crush, whatever. But she'll have like 30-year-old men come up to her now and talk about how hot she was. And she's like, it doesn't even matter that you were 13 at the time. It's a weird conversation to have now. And also, I should say, I'm not saying that it's ever okay for anybody to objectify anybody. Like, I'm not giving a pass. But it's not creepy for, you know, 14-year-olds to find other 14-year-olds hot.
Yeah.
Like, that's normal. But she still is living with that. So this guy is hitting on her, telling her all of the things he used to do. Watching her show, and this acquaintance steps in that she knows through her ex-boyfriend and kind of pretends to be her boyfriend just to get her away from, hey, honey, go give me a cinnamon roll. I'm going to go get us some seats. So suddenly, due to a technical error, all flights are grounded and it is Memorial Day weekend. And Millie has found out that the survivor, Elsie, is in hospice care. So she's like, she's still alive. She didn't die. And I've got to take her remains. I've got to take Mrs. Nash's remains to her so that she knows how much Mrs. Nash loved her. So these planes are grounded. It is Memorial Day weekend. So of course, the packed airport, because again, this is Washington, D.C., floods the rental car companies who immediately run out of cars. So Millie is like, there's a middle-aged guy who says he's driving to Florida. I'll ride with him. And that acquaintance steps in and he's like, no, you're not going to do that. I'm sorry. I feel like this is a real dangerous thing. You kind of know me. You know, I've been friends with your ex. You know, I knew him, whatever. And I'm also headed to Key West for an adult hug with a friend of his with benefits. So he says, I've got my car. His name is Hollis. I've got my car. Just ride with me. I'll sleep and you drive. You sleep and I'll drive. And we'll get there in a day or two. Shenanigans ensue. They get to Gadsley, South Carolina, which is where I'm from. And they get hit by a deer. Which I would say it seems like a rare occurrence, but that happened to my husband when we were either dating or engaged. He got hit by a deer. It like literally ran into his driver's side door and like caved the half of the door in. That's the thing. So it makes Hollis's car undrivable for a few days. So thankfully, it's a small town in the South and everybody's full of hospitality. So there's a B&B that's run by the sweetest little old Christian couple, right? They're not the obnoxious Christian people, though, that are like nice to your face and ugly to your back. Like, they're actually nice, except the one room that's available has one bed and is covered like wall to wall with portraits of different Jesuses, black Jesus, white Jesus, hipster Jesus, you know, any variation of Jesus. And so Hollis sees that and he's like, we're married. This is my wife. Because he says, I was afraid that they wouldn't give us this one room that they have since we're not married and we're not, you know, they don't know our situation. And I just didn't want to mess around and find out. Millie somehow ends up being in the town's parade because she's a former child star, and it's just hilarious. It's like this little Hallmark town. So it was a really funny and like fun rom-com. Got a little steamy at parts, but it was also like oddly deep, and like it dealt with grief really well. Not only being like the person who's grieving, but also like the person who's taking care of someone who's grieving, and like the best way to do that. And I have to say, Dick Nash, Mrs. Nash's like husband, is a king. And if until you read it, like you will, once you read it, you'll be like, oh my gosh, yes, we stan Dick Nash. He's excellent. And there's like a really unique, I felt like, twist towards the end that was, I really liked it. I thought it was a really cool way to write a story. So again, 5 stars for me, which is kind of rare. You'll have to read it because I think you'll really like it. And it's really quick.
I immediately added it to my TV.
Yeah, you should. And then earlier today, I watched the part 1 of 3 of the Vanderpump Rules reunion. So Sheena is there. Rachel is in a trailer outside because she has a restraining order against Sheena for punching her. So they'll swap out later. They did not on this episode. So immediately, Andy Cohen is like, hey, Tom, do you have anything to say to the cast? And he immediately starts sniffling. And James Kennedy says, pull yourself together, man. This isn't the Oscars. And Ariana is like, you are not a victim. Like, why are you sniffling at him? Like, he's just sobbing uncontrollably. And everyone's yelling at him to stop with the histrionics. Like, we're done with this. This is so annoying. Except for Schwartz, of course, because Schwartz is an idiot. Tom spends the whole time trying to blame his actions on Ariana and their relationship being in a bad place. Well, I wanted to, behind the scenes, blah, blah, blah. You find out that the first time that he and Rachel hooked up, Ariana was at home grieving because her dog had just died.
Fuck?
It was just freaking gross all around, and never in a million years would have thought that I would be like, James freaking Kennedy is a king, but the way that he is reading Tom to Phil is just the best thing I've ever seen. Like, he got, like, Tom was like, he gets up and he's like yelling at him. And Tom's like, if you ever get in my face again, I'll rip you in half. And he's like, do it, old man. Come here. Do it. I would love to see you do it. So Rachel will be out next week so that they can take care of her too. But one thing that was interesting is that they, every now and then they would cut to like her reacting because they're filming her watching what's being said. And so Ariana brings up that Tom is blaming a lot of this on them having intimacy issues. And she was like, Tom, we had sex several times in these, you know, months leading up to, you know, you doing this. And while you were having your affair, you were still coming home and sleeping with me. And Rachel makes this face when she realizes that Tom was also sleeping with Ariana. Like, bitch, did you think he was committed to you? You're the mistress. He's not committed to anybody but himself, baby. It's just like astounding to me.
Oh my God.
How she, and so it's like Tom is cheating on her while they're both cheating on Ariana.
Wow.
Just insane.
Wow.
I'm really excited because like Ariana has on her red revenge dress, right? and it is a dress that I could not pull off at all. She looks amazing. And it didn't happen this week, but they showed like in one of the teasers, he looks over at her and she was like, don't even look at me. You don't get to look at this. Yes, ma'am. He does not. He does not get to look at you, queen. Are we going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy?
No.
Okay, then I don't have anything else to say other than, God, it sucks how hot Chris Pratt is to have garbage views on things.
I'm so glad I was never on the Chris Pratt train.
He is so freaking beautiful to me. Like, he's so hot and I just hate it.
Objectively, like Andy Dwyer, can see it. I get it, but he does nothing for me. He does nothing for me, and I'm grateful for that.
I wish that I didn't see the appeal because his Andy Dwyer days were like gold.
Yeah.
Okay, what did you do this week?
Well, this week, okay, so last week I forgot to mention this, but I was following the Silvera suit saga on Instagram.
Oh yeah.
I have never been so stressed out about a fucking suit in my life.
I know.
Like, Adam Silvera, get it together. I was so stressed out. Like every time he posted a new story, I was like, this is the one where he tells us that it's lost and I'm going to be so mad at him. Like, what?
Yeah.
I'm glad that it all went off without a hitch, but I was very stressed out and was like religiously refreshing. Like, oh my God.
What now? What now? Okay. What now?
Everything's good. Okay. So this week I kind of virtually attended Kristen May Chase's in-person event. Angie went to meet Kristen and
that is so cool.
We had this immediately after the virtual panel. She was like, I think I want to go to the event. I was like, that sounds like a great idea. She's like, I kind of want to bring her a block of cheese. And I was like, you absolutely should do that because yeah. That would be freaking hilarious. And I was messaging with Kristen. I was like, how would you feel if somebody brought you just a block of cheese? And she's like, I would love it, but I'm lactose intolerant. So yeah. I wouldn't be able
and
to
that would
have
go
to,
that would be wasteful.
It
yeah.
would be wasteful. And so we were like planning all week how to like make it clever. So I was like, okay, you can print out a picture of a block of cheese and give it to her on behalf of me. And yeah. then she found this cute little like squeeze
toy. I saw
toy.
It, yeah. She sent me pictures.
And I was like, it's freaking cute. And so she went, she gave Kristen the cheese and then video chatted with me. So I got to video chat with Kristen at the event. It was very cool. So I guess I kind of attended the event.
Yeah.
Apparently her mom was there and promptly stole the cheese squeeze toy.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I get
gotta
it.
Give it away to mom.
It's very yeah. cute. And then this week I read 7 Rules for Breaking Hearts by Kristen J. Miller. It is her debut and it is about a podcaster who has a podcast with her best friend where they have 7 Rules for Breaking Hearts, which basically it's like, it's for people who are choosing to be single, but still like hooking up and also like how to hook up without catching feelings kind of thing. Yeah. They're just kind of like not anti-relationship, but just like if you choose not to be in a relationship, here are some guidelines yeah. and stuff like that. But then her best friend decides to get married and it kind of throws the internet into a panic because like, isn't the whole point of y'all's podcast to like be single, not seeking? That's their hashtag. Hashtag single, not seeking. And so the internet is in a frenzy and they travel to one of their sponsors is like, hey, we'll give you all expense paid to this to the Catalina Islands, this resort, have your wedding Ooh. here. And she's like, I'm not turning this down. It's awesome. And so they it's set mostly on the Catalina Islands, and so Margo is our main character. Her best friend is Joe, and Joe is getting married, and Margo's obviously the maid of honor because they're besties. And now she is like trying to figure out like, what are we gonna do for our next season to keep our like listeners coming back, because obviously this is kind of a wrench in our whole
yeah.
our brand. And so Margo has decided that what she's gonna do is to intentionally break the rules to prove why they're necessary, which I understand the idea behind it.
Yeah,
I feel like it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And she decides that the best person to do this with is the best man, who also happens to be her high school nemesis.
Girl, you know how that ends.
Have you ever read a rom-com? Have you ever watched
a rom-com? Or seen
a
romantic comedy?
Anything,
yeah.
girl.
Any of it. What
Any
is happening
it.
Here?
But she like remembers him from high school and she remembers him being like a douchebag and all of this. And now she like meets him again and is like, oh, he is not exactly as I remember him. And obviously shenanigans, romance things happen, and you know, it's very, very good. Declan is the best man and he is awesome. He has been like, I don't know how to explain Declan. He's just awesome. I love him. I wish he was a real person.
Yeah.
He's great. So highly recommend. That Kristen teased like a storyline between some side characters and I'm like, girl, please. I'm begging
Give
you,
me.
Please write this book. And she's like, I have plans. I'm going to pitch it to my editor. And I'm like, I will start the petition. Like,
yeah, I'll lead the
I'm
charge.
Here. She's like, hopefully because I put like little hints in there that they'll let me do it. I'm like, please, I I will do whatever I have to because I need to know the story there. There is very clearly a story there and I need to know what it is. So it was very good. I really liked it. I have never been so attacked in my life as just like a podcaster who has given up on relationships. I'm just like, do I
that
need
is wild.
I always talk about representation in the media and I always think of like Asian or queer. I never thought I needed to be represented in this way. Apparently I did. It was very good. I really liked it. And she even had like green hair at the beginning of the story. And I'm like, I had blue hair. We're so similar. Yeah, so I really liked it. I read The Duchess Takes a Husband by Harper St. George. So it's the fourth book in that series. This one follows Camille, who is a friend of the Crenshaw siblings, and her awful, terrible husband, who she was forced to marry. She was literally crying walking down the aisle, but she was forced to marry him. He is now dead, which we're happy about.
I remember talking about him last week.
And so Camille is like, you know, several months later, she's still technically in mourning or whatever because of society rules or whatever. Yeah. But Camille has decided that she is going to ask Jacob, who is the half-brother of one of the husbands from, I think it was book two. And she's going to ask Jacob to, she's propositioning Jacob because she has never experienced pleasure in bed. And so
you read this last week. Why does that sound so familiar?
Because I texted you about it.
Okay. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, so it was like the first chapter and Camille goes to Jacob and she was just like, I would like you to take me to bed. And I was like, girl, yes. Yes. I love this. And she's like so nervous about it, but I'm just like, it's such a power move. Like, I'm here for it. And Jacob has this reputation of like, kind of like being a ladies' man, which is why she chooses him, because she's like, if anybody can teach me how to be pleasured in bed, it's going to be this man. But it also doesn't help that she's like way attracted to him. And turns out he also is super attracted to her and never ever in his wildest dreams thought he would ever
have a chance
to be with her. And so it's like a whole thing. And they're like very much like trying to be like, there's going to be no feelings. It's going to be strictly like, this is a transactional thing. And at first Jacob is like, I think this is a terrible idea. Let's not do this, because he's like got these feelings for her. But then Jacob is trying to start a new club. It's like a cabaret. She took liberties with the creation of cabaret. Basically they're starting the first cabaret and they need to draw in an investor. And the investor is like feeling like, well, Jacob, even if you're not trying, all the ladies are like really into you. And so if you're going to be working at the cabaret, all of the employees are going to be like, you know, coming on to you, and that could be awkward. And so Jacob blurts out, well, that's not a problem because I'm engaged.
Oh no, Jacob.
And so then
Jacob
is like, this was a terrible idea. And so he goes to Camille and he's like, I know I turned down your proposal, but I have a proposal for you. And she's like, I will accept your proposal if you accept mine.
We're going to do ours. Yeah, we're going to do both of them.
They're fake engaged and also
friends with benefits.
But Camille has a lot of trauma related to that. And so it's very, very slow burn, but in like the best possible way.
Aww.
Like, I'm not usually a slow burn kind of person, but it's so well done, and I loved it. This was like my favorite of the four, and I'm a big fan. So there's that. I read Chef's Kiss by TJ Alexander. It is about Simone, who is working at a food magazine, and it's like her dream job, and the magazine's not doing well. So the like boss is like, we're gonna turn to like video content because that's the thing now. And so they hire like somebody to like film videos, and they're like, oh, by the way, you're gonna be the one who's in front of the camera. And she's like, no.
What?
I don't like this idea.
Yeah.
And also they hire a new kitchen manager, Ray. And Ray is super like sunshiny and Simone is not. It's a grumpy sunshine. It's great. And so they kind of clash. I mean, Ray's just so much sunshine that they don't even realize that they're clashing with Simone. And Simone's just like, this is not working. And then after a drunken night, Ray and the camera person, Petey, like filmed a video or something, and it accidentally got uploaded to the company's YouTube instead of Petey's private YouTube. And Ray kind of becomes like an internet sensation. So the magazine is like, oh yeah, this, we totally planned that all along. They've got their own show now. Actually, I keep saying they, because Ray is non-binary, but at the beginning is going by she, her pronouns.
Okay, yeah.
So the company is like, oh yeah, she's great. We totally planned this all along. And so then the company, you know, they go with Ray's little program, and then they create a new one that is Ray and Simone working together on videos. And it actually works really well because Simone by herself is very like stilted and like not comfortable, but yeah, put them together and it's very cute. And then eventually at one point Ray comes out as non-binary and they're like, I, you know, please use they, them pronouns from here on out. And the video crew, the cameraman, Petey and all of them, Simone, even like the head honcho's assistant, everybody's great. And it's like, oh yeah, of course, we'll do, you know, whatever it makes you comfortable. The company, however, is trash.
Oh, God.
And so there's a confrontation between like the person who is supposed to, his name's Chase, I believe, who's supposed to be like overseeing all the video content, and everybody who's actually working on the videos. And he makes some comment about Ray and basically very transphobic bullshit. What? And everybody is like, the fuck is going on? And then they're all talking, Ray's like out and everybody else is talking, and they're like, we need to report it, we need to do all this. And then they get an email from, I guess, HR or the company, whatever, and they're all like, oh, it's already been done, everything's gonna be fine. It was not. The company basically was like, we don't want to be making any political statements, but we're a very like welcoming and safe space, and like person's identity
just contradicted yourself. Yeah.
A person's identity is not a political statement, thank you very much.
No.
So that is a big, and Ray is very much like, I don't want to rock the boat, I need this job, we're just going to do this. And everybody is like, I mean, we'll follow your lead, but we don't like it.
Yeah.
They've got a very good reason for it, which we do find out. They, you know, tell Simone why they really need the job, and it's a very good reason. And so it just, things go from there.
From there.
And it ends so well. It's the biggest fuck you to this company ever, and it makes me so happy. And I like, I was so frustrated because they were just so blah. But like, the ending,
bullshit.
The ending is so good. It's so good. Big fan. I really liked this book. It was great. I also read Stray, Kai's Story by Amber D. Lewis.
Yeah, we love that one.
What do I say about Amber's book that I haven't already said before?
I know.
Like, she rips your heart out and then gives you teeny tiny bits of hope to be like, things are going to be okay. And you're just like, it's such a false sense of security because you just know she's going to do it again. She's the worst, but we love her.
She's going to gut you like a fish.
I read The New Mother by Nora Murphy, an arc of The New Mother by Nora Murphy. It is about, oh my God, what is her name? I forget the main character's name. But she's a new mom. She literally, I think the book opens on her like immediately after giving birth to her son Oliver, and it's basically her kind of navigating the newborn weeks.
Right.
And it's so fucking relatable. Like, I had flashbacks to newborn when my daughter was a newborn. Like, it's very clear that a mother wrote this because there's nobody else is going to be able to explain how you're feeling in those moments. Like, there's just no way. It was, and so while she's like going through like sleep exhaustion because her baby's super colicky and doesn't sleep very well, she has to hold him all the time for him to nap, he's constantly wanting nurse, all of this, her husband has gone back to work not realizing like she needs fucking help. And her best friend is like pregnant and in like her last trimester and having her own issues, so she's like not really there, and so she's struggling, she's doing this all on her own basically, and the baby is very reliant on her, very clingy and all of that. And income comes her neighbor, Paul, who lives, like, they live in a cul-de-sac. This is in suburbia. And they live in a cul-de-sac. And so he, like, he's out for a run and she's out walking the baby in a stroller. And she's so tired, she, like, collapses and the stroller starts rolling away. And so he grabs the baby. He gets her. He's like, hey, you know, like, and so that's kind of how they meet. And then they become friends and they form this friendship. And as the story goes on, we realize that Paul's intentions are not good. He has some sinister intentions for this friendship. Ooh. And she's over here like, oh my God, he's like the only person I can talk to and all of this because he's a stay-at-home dad. So she's like leaning on him for support because she doesn't really have anybody else. And so it's very like, oh, it's murder in suburbia. And it is that, but it's also like a commentary on like how new parents, especially new mothers, feel like they have to do it all. Yeah. And all of that postpartum, you know, like you need to take care of yourself. It's a commentary on like, you need to be able to like know what the signs are. And it's a good reminder to be like, hey, maybe check in with the people that love you or the people who have a newborn. Like
mom
maybe
just had a newborn. Yeah.
Check in a little deeper, more than just like asking how's it going kind of thing, like just in case, because she does have some stuff that's going on that we don't really, that is shown but isn't talked about until like way way later in the book,
right?
So it's really good, and it reminds I feel like it's a good like reminder to new mothers to be like, maybe don't put your trust in people that easily, because, and she was very vulnerable because she didn't have any kind of supports.
Anybody.
Like she kind of isolated herself because she was so focused on like being a good mom, and all of the pressure of being a good mom was just kind of coming down on her, and so she was vulnerable to Paul's very
first
sinister,
person who was nice to her,
intentions. And so yes, I do want to make sure everybody knows Oliver is fine, the baby is fine.
Okay,
that's very important to me and probably most people. The baby is fine.
Okay, good.
So but it was really well written, and it made me, like, I was very nervous for her throughout the whole thing. but it ended on a good note.
Good.
I reread The Nanny by Lana Ferguson. I listened to it on audiobook because I hadn't listened to it on audiobook. And there's just something that hits different when you listen to it on audiobook. And I was just like, you know, I just want to support my friend.
Yeah.
And also reread a really good book. So I did that. And then the last thing I read is The Edge of Night by Jake Emanuel and Willie Block with Jason Gurley. If you value your sleep, please don't read this book.
I'm not ever reading that book. I would be the first to go.
So the book is basically, there's a night watchman, Dave, who finishes his overnight shift with his friend and coworker, Mateo, and they go to like a party that is basically wrapping up, and essentially somebody was asleep on the couch and gets knocked over into like a coffee table and glass everywhere, and they're like, oh my, oh, freaking out, call 911, try to do CPR and all of that. 911 is busy, guy's not waking. They go and check for like the person whose party it was, asleep in bed, also not waking. And then they realize these are dead bodies. So they're like, we're gonna, if 911's not gonna come here, we're gonna take them to the hospital. Go to the hospital. Everything's really weird. It's very quiet. It's bizarre. They meet a nurse named Linda, and they find out that everybody who went to sleep the night before died.
I would die so fast. I'll be the first to die at the beginning. That'll be it. That's where my story ends.
It's so stressful. It's so stressful. And it's also like really like, so the book is based off of a podcast of the same name, like a drama podcast where they performed basically.
Yeah. I can't listen to those.
And the book is, for me, it made more sense the way that the book was set up after finding out that it was based off of a podcast, because it's got like sections and each section is like chapters, and then you get to a new section and it's different chapters, but it like jumps around from, because the main thing is this group of four. It's Dave, Mateo, Linda, and then Dave's ex-girlfriend, Katie, who he like, once they realize that like, if you go to sleep, you die, guy, he like tries calling her, repeatedly tries calling her, and then literally runs to her house and breaks down her door to make sure she doesn't go to sleep. And so it's the four of them trying to like figure out what happened and trying to keep each other awake and all of this. And like the bulk of the story follows them, but then there are like different parts that like jump to other survivors. And it just, it's a little chaotic for my taste. It very much felt like it was written like a TV show, which is good if it was TV.
Yeah.
In book format, it didn't work so well for me. I'm sure there are people who enjoyed it the way it was. For me, it just didn't work. It was well written, like each, you know, if you put it together in a way that made more sense and wasn't so jumping around. There were a lot of storylines that felt like they just didn't really wrap up. The ending confused the fuck out of me, and it very, very much felt like it was like the end of season one of a TV show and cliffhanger, you need to come back for season two. Like, it very much felt like that. And I was just like, I don't like that. Like,
yeah,
I don't mind cliffhangers, but just, I don't know. It's something about it just didn't work for me. Yeah. I need a more regular sleep schedule so that I can just be just take me out in the beginning, because I don't want to survive that.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, I don't. Not even a little bit.
I don't want to survive that. If everybody I know went to sleep and then didn't wake up, I would not want to be
right.
I wouldn't want to be part of that mess. I'm sorry.
No,
take me out.
Yeah.
But if like horror thriller kind of thing intrigues you, go for it. Try it out. I think that I really do believe that some people will love this. It was just not for me.
Yeah, that's allowed.
Not for me. But that was my week. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I forgot to say one thing. Victoria Aveyard renounced. Victoria Aveyard announced the third Realmbreaker title is going to be Fatebreaker, and it's set to be out. I think right now it's February 27th, 2024. But I think that could change.
Okay.
Slightly. February-ish. Yay. So Fatebreaker. I had to look up the date. So that's exciting news. I think she announced that today.
Very cool.
Do you have a fictional boyfriend this week?
I have two.
Okay.
The first one is Declan Walsh from Seven Rules for Breaking Hearts by Kristen J. Miller. First of all, he is the sweetest man. So I mentioned him when I was talking before about the book, and he played these pranks on Margot, the main character, in high school, and she was like, he's doing this on purpose, he's the worst, he's a douchebag.
Yeah.
And well, turns out that it was on accident, first of all. The first one was an accident. He didn't know it would be her. And then the second one, he actually was like, I thought it would make you smile. You looked like you were having a bad day. And I thought it would make you smile. But she didn't take it that way, unfortunately. Yeah. And so, like, he always had good intentions. He's had this crush on her since high school. And he used to go to all of the band concerts just because she was in the band. Like, this man.
I love.
Obsessed. And all this time, she was just like, he was a jerk and a douchebag. And he was just like, I just liked you.
Yeah. Oh.
He's so sweet. And he's a redhead.
Sweet baby.
So Declan, adorable. And then the other is Jacob Thorne from The Duchess Takes a Husband. We all know consent is king. First of all, he is a good teacher. But we all know consent is king. And Jacob Thorne knows consent. He is like in the middle of like things getting hot and heavy. Camille freaks out. She pulls away and he's just sitting there like, okay, we don't
take your time. It's fine.
Do what you got. Like, and she was like, this is when he's gonna like keep going. He's just gonna worry about what. And he's like, no, girl, this is about you.
Yeah.
And it's every time is like that. Anything that happens, it's always about her. And I'm talking about everything is about her. And I'm just like, this. Oh, and it's like, especially in like this time period, for this man to exist and to be all about.
Yeah, that's
like,
rare.
I'm just like, this king. That's king shit right there. And I'm here for it. You know, it's kind of sucks that like we're talking about like how consent from a man is amazing, but it should be the norm. But like,
yeah, the bar still, is on the floor.
The bar is
the
below
bar is in
the
hell. The bar is in hell.
Wait, yeah. Like, the bar is disintegrating down there. Like, yeah. He is just, he's great. I love him. So, those are my two fictional boyfriends this week. What about you?
Speaking about consent kings, let me tell you about Hollis Hollenbeck from Miss Nash's Ashes, because he's the same way. Things happen, and I don't want to spoil too much, but it's very dark. And he's, and she's like nodding her answers and stuff. And he's like, no, I need your words. Mm-hmm. I need to hear you say what is okay, what you want.
Yes.
I'm not taking a nod in the pitch dark. Like,
right.
He's
an clear.
Clear and whatever you're into, I'm into. It's whatever, but I need words.
Yes.
He's an angsty author.
Ugh, say less.
He is grumpy to Millie Sunshine. He is so protective over her. And he, I don't want to say puts up with a lot, but he takes things that are thrown at him so well. Millie is kind of chaotic. She's all over the place. She's kind of spastic. She reminded me a lot of myself, where she just, and I feel like it's undiagnosed ADHD. Where she's just like flies by the seat of her pants in every moment of her life. And he is not that way. Like, she was going to get in a car with a middle-aged rando and drive to Florida. And he was like, do we think maybe if we take a step back from the situation that that is the most smart idea? And that is the best idea, to go with this stranger who's a lot older than you and a lot bigger than you. That's the idea. So he's very protective, very sweet. Hollis Hollenbeck. Love him.
Yay.
Love, love, love.
I can't wait to read it.
I know. You will love it.
I already really love it.
Cute. Oh, I forgot to mention when I was talking about it, but there are content warnings in the beginning.
Yes, we love.
Yeah, a lot of it is... because she was a child star, you know, it talks about her dealing with people who were like sexually attracted to her and talking about her to her adult self, about her minor self. And then of course, grief, death, loss, all of that. And I put that in my blog. Like, I really, we love a good content warning in a book. That is so important.
Where did your money go this week, Mandy?
So I forgot to show this. I talked about it last week, but it was across the room.
Oh, yes.
I got that Ed Sheeran box. So I thought it was so cool. It's packed so cool. So you open it up and it had the CD in this little thing. You take it out and it's Ed's face. And then there was a t-shirt inside. I've taken that out, obviously, but Ed's face. And so then you've got the CD, and then inside the thingy, this is so crazy. Ed Sheeran had his hand on this. You touch this. So Josh got me that because he's the bestest. I want to put it back because I don't want it sticking out, getting messed up. I want to get a shadow box for it.
Yeah.
To keep it nice. So then I had something random show up on my informed delivery, and I was like, I don't even know what that is. It was, so I read the best book I've ever read recently, and it was Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros, and it is Entangled Publishing and Red Tower Books. And like, I don't even, I could have, it's like a fever dream. I don't remember even signing up for like an influencer thing, but I was so frantic after I finished that book for more. So I had a random package. Look at this mailer, first of all. It's the cutest mailer.
So cute.
Yeah. In case of emergency, open. Hashtag book mail.
I'm obsessed. Obsessed.
I'm keeping it. Like, I'm not even going to throw it away, which is so weird. But the book is Planes, Trains, and All the Feels by Livy Hart. And it came with a little, like a door hanger and a bookmark. So I'm really excited to read that. I got a finished copy of Unfortunately Yours by Tessa Bailey from HarperCollins. And then I got two books from Hachette Book Club or Social Club this week. So the first one is But Will You Love Me Tomorrow by Laura Flam and Emily Sue Leibowitz. I hate the term old soul, but like I grew up with my mother who we watched like black and white movies more than like TV, like more than color. And like I Love Lucy and all of that. And like my mom didn't really listen to this kind of music, like the 60s girl groups, but my grandmothers did. So I'm excited to dig into the girl groups. Yay. You know, and it's an oral history of 60s girl groups. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to read this first and then let my grandmother read it, or if I am going to be nice and let her read it first. And then this one I'm interested in, and I thought my husband might be too. It's called Mapping the Darkness, The Visionary Scientist Who Unlocked the Mysteries of Sleep by Kenneth Miller. Mm. Because they don't know a lot about sleep, if you think about it, like what goes on, what are dreams, you know, like what is all of this, right. So yeah, I'm excited for those. Last week while we were recording, my husband was buying me a new MacBook because I complained about my old one, and he was like, oh, by the way, I got you a MacBook. And I was like, what? At first I was like, why? Because like I thought it was for him, like because he just sent me a picture of a MacBook right. order, and I was like, why? No, it was for me. It's here. It's pretty. It's black. I got like a little floral case for it, so it looks all dark academia-ish, I guess. I don't know. And then he bought a lot of home security stuff because we've been having a situation lately where there's this kid and I want to start by saying this child is not a problem. It's a kid who has kind of been roaming my neighborhood. He's like 7, I think, 6 or 7. But I've never seen an adult. And he knocked on our door one time to ask if the twins would play with him, which they did, because we were like, he's lonely, you know. So they went out with him for a few minutes. But like, as I was telling them, hey, I didn't want to slam the door in his face, hey, you want to go outside with him for a few minutes? He just like walked into the house. So I'm concerned about two things with this kid. He doesn't understand boundaries because he's a child. So in this day and age, I want to have like some cameras around my house just in case we're not home and he's there. We want to know that he's safe and that if we see anything on our cameras, we can call someone to help him be safe. But I also want to have cameras to protect us because we have dogs.
Right.
So I want to know if someone who doesn't have the mentality of an adult, because they're not, goes to my backyard and opens my gate and walks in and then walks out and doesn't close my gate, because I don't want to let my dogs out
right.
with an open gate. So we're upgrading our cameras around the house. So we're probably going to put those up this week and this weekend. So we did that. And again, I'm not complaining about the kid. Like, he is being a kid, but yeah. I want everyone to be safe and I want backup. I want proof that everyone's being safe all the time. So, yeah, we bought some cameras. Where did your money go?
I got a few things. No, it's the same stack. It's okay. Stuff is just going on top of the stack.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I got a finished copy of The Time Has Come by Will Leitch. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm so sorry. From HarperCollins. It's a hardcover.
Very nice.
I'm like, ooh, cool. Hey. It's set in a Georgia pharmacy. And honestly, say less. I worked in pharmacy. You live in Georgia. That's all I need. I'm so easy to convince to read something, honestly. So thank you, HarperCollins. And I got, I also got some stuff from Hachette Social Club. The first is How to American, An Immigrant's Guide to Disappointing Your Parents by Jimmy O. Yang.
So freaking funny. I could die.
He's hilarious, first of all.
Yeah.
He's fucking hilarious and I love him. But the title of this book is just perfection. I'm obsessed. I can't wait to fucking read this. I'm gonna be laughing my ass off. I'm sure of it. And then I got Vegan Richa's Instant Pot Cookbook. I got a cookbook.
Very cool.
From Hashtag Social Club. We have an Instant Pot. We rarely use it, so maybe this will kickstart something or other. But it's 150 plant-based recipes from Indian cuisine and beyond. And I just, sounds delicious and amazing.
I rarely use mine too, but when you do, it is so nice.
Yeah.
It's super convenient.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
So thank you to Hachette for those. And then I got a bunch of pins from 100% Soft. They released their Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 collection. So we've got Mantis. I can put her closer.
She's so cute.
Adam Warlock, Rocket,
my baby,
the High Evolutionary, Gamora, Drax, oh god, this is really difficult to do, Peter Quill, Cosmo,
my baby, she's such a good girl,
Nebula, and of course, Super Jacked Groot.
Groot
is a fucking plant. Why is he so jacked? It confuses me. I know. I'll get there. But
not saying a word.
That is where, I guess technically I only bought the pins. But yeah, that's where
I'm going. Wow. Oh, yeah.
Look at me.
Good this week.
To be fair, I ordered like 2 books from Fairyloot this week. But they're not coming till like July, August. So
I had a harrowing experience today with Bookish Box. So, listeners, the June Bookish Box, which I don't normally like Bookish Box lately because they've gotten pretty terrible.
I ordered the Foul Lady Fortune Special Edition, and it has been over 6 months. And every week for the past however many weeks since it was supposed to be shipped out, they have said, we have been informed that this is coming to our warehouse this week. We'll let you know. Every week.
It has said this.
And yeah. Like, it can't be coming to your warehouse this week. You said that last week. And
yeah.
Yet here we are. It's been over 6 months. And I only know that because I paid with PayPal and I checked my PayPal I have a spreadsheet. And so if it's PayPal, it tells me where the 6 month mark is. And it's been over 6 months. So anyways, sorry.
There's a lot of people. I'm still waiting on my December box, my November box, but their June adult box is Fourth Wing and it's a special edition. I already ordered the Probably Smut one. I'm going to need ordered a German edition. Because that edition is insane. It's freaking beautiful. So they went on sale today at 1 p.m. my time. And I have my card ready and I had an alarm set. And I go immediately and I'm refreshing the page. I'm trying. And I get like to where it's in my cart. And it's like continue. So I click continue and it just like everything stops. So then I get out my MacBook and I do the same on it. Because I'm like, maybe it's my phone. Then I pull out my iPad and I have all three going. And I'm texting Karen, like, I'm just trying to get this box and nothing's working. And so Karen's like, I'll try. So she's trying all the way in California. One of mine finally went through to where I could put in my card. I did get it, but it was like a 15 minute.
So stressful.
Yeah.
I had secondhand stress.
Yeah. And so then I would have paid, you know, for the one you got regardless and just sold it or whatever. But I was like, then frantically texting you like, oh, I had like, I typed out the text because it was like acting like it was done. And as soon as the confirmation came up, I was like, I got it.
I was like waiting. I was like, I'm in.
Abort.
I'm like, I can enter payment information. I'm just waiting to hear if yours went through.
Yeah.
So, it was a good time.
Harrowing. It was.
It was stressful.
Get you a friend who will frantically stop everything to try and help you get a book.
Bookish people are the best people. I'm just saying.
For sure.
Yeah, that was definitely a stressful situation.
That was the thing that happened.
Yes. Speaking of special editions of our books, I did order the French special edition of These Violent Delights, and it's beautiful, and they have a pre-order incentive, and I'm really mad that I don't currently live in any of the countries that qualifies for the pre-order incentive, even though I've ordered the book. I'm very sad.
You need to email the publisher and be like, look,
I
ordered that edition.
I've been frantically texting everybody I know to see if they have friends in France, Switzerland, Luxembourg, or Belgium. I think those are the 4 countries that you have to live in order to get the pre-order. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
Anybody.
Yeah.
I just need an address. I will pay for you to ship it to me.
Everything.
I just need the. Yeah. How am I supposed to collect all the Chloe things if they don't let me collect all the Chloe things.
It's just rude.
It is rude. It is very rude. So if any of y'all are listening from any of those four countries and wouldn't mind giving me your address so I can have them ship this pre-order and send it to you, that'd be great. I'd be very appreciative. Send me an email.
The incoherent fangirl at gmail.com.
What she said. And that sound means we have an intruder alert.
It's an intruder alert.
This week, we're very, very excited. We have the author of All the Right Notes, Dominic Lim. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome, welcome.
Very excited.
I have a drink. I hope you don't mind because it is happy hour. So
I just got Sprite, but no judgment here.
I also have a drink, so we're good.
Okay. Good.
So first things first, we always ask our authors at the beginning of this, give us like the elevator pitch of the book. If somebody somehow has never heard of it, which if they're listening to this podcast, they definitely have.
They've because
I talked
already.
About it last week. But just in case somebody has just stumbled upon us, let us know what the book is about.
Sure. It is a queer Asian rom-com about a Filipino composer and pianist named Quito Cruz and his relationship with a closeted Hollywood actor named Emmett Aoki. And it takes place in two timelines, in the present and in the past. In the past when they first meet in high school choir, and in the present when they meet again after having not talked for a very long time because Quito needs to recruit Emmett to be a part of a charity benefit concert. So, you know, it's kind of a second chance romance, and there's a lot of music and a lot of food. And a lot of family, so yeah, that's it.
It's got
you're speaking to our souls over here. The music, the food, theater,
everything, everything that you just said, right to the soul. Like this book was written for us.
It really was. Yeah.
When Estelle first post, like very first time she posted about it, I was like, I need that immediately. Like 5 years ago.
Right now.
I'll give it to me right now. I need it.
And then I got my copy first, and Karen didn't know that she was getting a copy, and so she was like, I'm so mad.
I was like, literally we were talking about it, we were like, oh, you need a copy to read before we talk to Dom, because I had gotten an e-arc, and so I was like getting ready to read it, and then like the next day she got it in the
crazy.
mail. I was like,
yeah,
what?
Who is spying like, on us?
That episode hasn't even gone started editing yet. How does anybody know that?
So
she was like,
really,
I hate you. What?
Your PR team is on top of things.
Estelle is like, she's like magic. She's basically like, yeah.
She knows.
She knows.
Uh-oh. Sorry.
I was like,
my laptop like froze for a second. Yes, she's a queen. So I want to know, I've always wondered this, but I've never thought to ask it of anyone. What is it like to write a dual timeline book? Like, do you write each timeline and then mix them in, or do you kind of pants them together?
Yeah, you know what? I have full transparency. It was only because I was totally lazy. Like I think every author, every author usually has backstory of their characters, right? Like, because they have something that they did in the past. And for me, I was like, well, my backstory is like hecka good. So I don't want to like cut out. I mean, because you're supposed to not put in a ton of it. You just sprinkle it in through the book. And I was like, but I don't want to do that. Like, I want the whole thing. So I did. I kept it. But I knew that I would get pushback on it from readers unless it was really, really well like executed. So I tried really hard to like pass off each chapter to the next one so that there was kind of a seamless sort of like, you know, arc to it. And I made sure that each timeline had its own arc so it kind of went like this, you know, and so that you felt like you weren't being jolted into another storyline when you were really hooked into another one. So it was a lot of pressure to make sure that they were both, you know, compelling.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think you managed it really well. Like,
thank you.
It felt like, I know you said it's like a musical in a book, but to me, I could see it as a TV show.
Yeah, where, right.
Like, you have, you know, this chapter is in, for example, the present, and then it like flashbacks.
Yeah.
And every switch that you go from the different timelines, like, it felt like one continuous story, even though they were two distinct timelines, but like, mm-hmm. It just flowed so well. You managed it really magically. I love it. It was great.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, there is enough material for a TV show. Netflix, Hulu, are you listening?
We're all about
that.
Hold on. Listen, Mandy has a magical power, and it somehow, we don't know how it works, but she manifests things and they happen. So we're going to do that right now.
Okay.
We're all about manifesting.
Do we want a show? Do we want it to be a movie? What do we like? What do we want?
Honey, I'll take anything.
Dear Netflix, dear Netflix, dear Hulu, dear Amazon Prime, yeah. Anyone who could do the best job, we're going to need an all the right notes, some sort of filmography. We need it on our screens. The world needs it on our screens, and it's going to happen.
Thank you.
It's going to happen, and we're manifesting this right now. We're going to have a show, and you're going to have to come back to talk about what it's like to have your book adapted into a movie or a show.
I will do that.
Okay.
It would be really great in the visual format. Like, just the way that you've written it already feels like it's just such an easy transition. So anybody out there who's listening, who has this power, let's make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, and also because there's so much music, right? It is really hard to read a book that references music without hearing the music, you know?
Yes.
So an adaptation is a great call for my book and for a lot of other kinds of books that have music in it. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
I would like to know, I don't know if you know, but we've got a Hamilton Broadway narrator for the audiobook. Does he sing? Does he sing the songs? Do you know? Can you tell us? I really want to know.
So the plan is, so there's a little tiny hiccup because they need to, I wrote the song with a friend of mine. His name is Marty again. He's an incredible composer. And the timelines, they're pushing against the timelines because they need to iron out sort of like the rights with the composer. And so, you know how attorneys are, they take a long time. So, but the plan is hopefully on launch, and if it doesn't, they'll just have to revise the audiobook, is that because they have recorded already, Aaron is going to sing whenever a song comes along, like the song, he's going to sing the lyrics. And at the end, I don't know if you remember, but at the end, the song is sort of like expanded into a big choral, like variation of it. And everyone in the whole book like comes on stage and sings the song. So they actually recorded that in the studio with Aaron singing like all the parts. And like, so it's this big like choral finale. Yeah, I mean, so please cross your fingers that the lawyers can do their thing, because
the lawyers are going to do their thing. They're going to give us that as well.
Manifest.
Oh my gosh. You're right. Like, especially in this book, any book that has music as such a prominent like part of it, like it really needs that element.
Yeah.
And the song that you wrote, like, I know that you put out, you know, like a version of it and recorded it, and it's beautiful and it's amazing, and I feel like,
well, and the funny thing is, when the producer reached out to me about the including the song in the book, she said, you know, do you want to sing it or do you want Aaron? I was like, I recorded it, I'm done, like that was my thing. Aaron is the voice of the book, he's the voice of Quito, like he played King George in Hamilton, like on Broadway. Like, he's fine, like he will sing the song, like so that's what they did.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited for the audiobook.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Me too. And I'm actually not the biggest audiobook person, but I'm going to listen to this.
Yeah, you're like, I'll
For him. I mean, not for me, but for him.
So I have read the little blurb on the back of your book, but for the listeners, can you tell us a little bit more about your musical background?
Oh, sure. Yeah, music is sort of my, I mean, ever since I was a kid, I've been focused on music. To piano lessons as a kid, I was in band, I was in choir. I went to Oberlin College and Conservatory as a voice major. And then later on, I went back to grad school to get my degree in voice performance. But like in between college and grad school, I was actually working in New York as a theater, like an actor, as a musical theater actor. So I was also, I was acting, but also still doing music. And I was also like doing church gigs and stuff like that. So that is my background. And I've, you know, conducted choirs. I've formed my own choirs. You know, I've sung professionally for a very long time. So anyone who reads the book and says, oh, this guy kind of like knows what he's talking about. I do, because I've been doing it for a long time. Yeah. So, I mean, I know about, if there's anything I know about it, it's music and a little bit about theater. So, yeah, I mean, I've just been on stage or performing in front of people for, since I was a kid. So that's just my life. Yeah.
So there's a lot of self-insert. You could say maybe a little bit.
it comes across, like, I don't have as extensive of a musical background. Like, I did piano lessons as a kid. I was in choir in high school, but like there are the musical elements of it, like, and the technical parts of the musical elements, like, as somebody who is kind of aware of that, like, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, like, he really, really does know. I mean, like, I knew, but I was just like, oh, he put all of that in there. Like, this is great.
I have, people have been telling me, like, because a lot of people do, I mean, they don't go on to become professional musicians, but they took violin classes or they sang in choir or church choir or whatever. And a lot of people have been telling me, like, oh, that takes me back to like when I was in high school choir or church choir. Yeah, music touches a lot of people.
The very first chapter, I think it was, I was literally transported back to like high school choir. Like, I pictured that choir room as the one that I spent 4 years of my life in. Like, I was like, oh God, it's like being back in high school, but only this good part of it.
The good little nugget. A good point, because a lot of people, it's choir or drama class or band was like that one safe spot.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the arts is going to be something that just they're going to gravitate to when they read it. And it's like, this does take me back. This is nostalgic.
Yeah.
Or my
totally.
Fine arts class.
Yeah. And in particular, like choir, band, orchestra, theater, those are all also like you don't do it in a vacuum, right? You do it with other people, and it is this place where not only is it a safe place, but it's a place to find other people who are like you and who you can surround yourself with and feel safe with. So,
and they're not gonna laugh at you,
and they're not gonna laugh at you
like the jock would that, you know,
right,
walks by you in the hallway.
It's such a good like parallel to the queer community, I feel.
Sure,
like,
yeah, totally.
All of the arts, and it's like it's a place where you, and that's why I feel like, I mean, we see a lot of queer people in the arts, it's the place where we feel safe, and like you said, nobody's gonna laugh at you if, you know, like, you accidentally, you know, screw up something or whatever.
I did that once in drama. I completely messed up and I was so upset, and everybody like was cheering. They were like, you did great and you can just redo it tomorrow, like, it's fine. Where any other class, if you mess up, they're gonna like, oh, that nerd. But it was like the most supportive group of people are the people who are in the arts.
The arts.
And like you said, it's a good parallel.
It is. At least in high school. When you go to like music school and conservatory, that's a different story. But
That's fair.
Yeah. Then it's dog eat dog, I guess.
Yeah.
Cutthroat. Scary.
Go ahead.
I was gonna switch gears a little bit. So there's a question, there's a couple of questions that we always ask. We have a segment called Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, where we just, and it doesn't have to be a boyfriend. Karen's had a fictional granny, could be a fictional binary, non-binary friend, a fictional bestie. Doesn't have to be in a book, in any kind of media that is like, that's mine. That's, you know, do you have like a fictional boyfriend of the week?
I mean, I have an entire like list of fictional boyfriends. I mean,
listen. person. Go for it.
No, wait. Okay, wait. Sorry. Are you talking about like fiction people or people that exist out in the real world, but who are like?
Yes, both.
Oh, both.
Yes. Because we have like fictional characters, and then like I have crushes. Adam Driver.
Yeah.
You know, like. Or Tom Hiddleston or whatever.
It's a fictional character or your fictional relationship with a real person, because I definitely have those with some celebrities. I'm like, that's my boo.
Yeah. She's married to Sebastian Stan. He just doesn't know it yet.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. 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 I have so many questions, but like the one that comes, the first one that comes to mind is Jonathan Bailey, the guy that was in Bridgerton. He plays. Yeah.
Yes.
And the funny thing is, in the first, because you know how the second season it focuses more on him. The first season it wasn't him; it was his sister and Regé-Jean. I can't remember his name. And then the second season and the funny thing is, when I watched Bridgerton, I was not that into him. Maybe because he's kind of like He's kind of an asshole anyway. And then I don't know. I feel like they styled him differently for the second season I was like, "What is going
on? You're like, where did you come from?
Why are you so hot now?" And then I found out, like, not only like he's queer also, and he's a musical theater person. Like, he won the Olivier for being in the production of Company, Stephen Sondheim's Company on the West End. So I was just
I love when things like that happen. Like, you're I like you. And then you find all this other stuff. You're like, oh,
I really got even like
hotter.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's a good fictional boyfriend.
Yeah. And then like it's not super original, but I mean, there's a reason why I wear this shirt. I mean, when I was a kid, my first crush was on, and this is going to age me, but I had a crush on Christopher Reeve as Superman. Like, that was my ideal like boyfriend as a kid. Yeah. And I was just so in love with him and the character and everything. But anyway, yeah, so that's my sort of fictional boyfriend. But I feel like I have more like actor boyfriends
if you want to throw them out, you can, because most people forget everything they've ever read, watched, consumed. As soon as we ask that question, they're like, what is a book? I don't know if I've ever seen a movie in my life.
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
I'm very into a lot of we're entering a renaissance of super hot Asian actors, I just have to say.
Yes.
Like, you know, Henry Golding and Louis Tan and like, what's the guy's name from Warrior? I think his name is Andrew Koji. But like, super, super hot. I don't know if you guys ever watched on the CW, the Kung Fu reboot.
Oh my God. That got,
yeah. Like, every single guy on that.
I'm obsessed with all of them. Every single person is so beautiful. And like, did you know John, I don't remember his last name, the guy who plays the brother, he's like, he's got an accent in real life, and I'm like,
oh the brother, like the younger brother,
the doctor brother, because he's got an accent in real life.
I thought he was Filipino at first, but apparently he's like mixed, like he's Singaporean and something else, like something like that. But but all the boys on there, I'm just like,
the way that I have a crush on Eddie Liu, I cannot.
It's beyond. I can't. Like, I can't even deal with my crush on Eddie Liu.
Oh my God.
Can't.
I'm obsessed with him.
If
I'm
ever meet him in person, I
would die. I would die. I follow almost all of them on Instagram, and Shannon, who plays Althea, posted something about, I think she posted a picture with her and Eddie, and like something in like her comments or something. She's like, ladies, he's single. And I was like, hello, hi, yes. Me, I volunteer.
Volunteer tribute.
Slide into the DM. Yeah.
Hey. If you want to just pass my name along, that'd be great. You're right. We really are in like this renaissance of just beautiful Asian people being just all over the media, and I'm living for it.
And the thing is, when I was growing up, you could maybe find that with Asian women, or at least as I was getting older, but Asian men, never, ever. Like, you never saw them. First of all, you never saw them really in entertainment, period. I mean, Jackie Chan or whatever. So, but then later on, I mean, like, but as a leading man, as a romantic object, I mean, object of affection, of like romantic affection, like never. And so that's what's so amazing about right now. And that's part of the reason why I wrote this book, because it was like, yes, like Asian men can be sexy. They can have their own love stories. They can be like, you know, they can turn you on. So it's, yes. I'm very happy about what's happening right now.
Yeah. And it's like, this book is coming at just like, you're right in the middle of this like resurgence. And yeah. Like, it's like people are going to gravitate, I feel like, towards Emmett and Kito because they're just, first of all, they're amazing characters, period, full stop. But it's just like, it's also like they're starting to realize like,
yeah,
Asian men have got it like going on.
Well, they always have.
They always have.
It's just now catching up.
The miscellaneous the white people have up. Just figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So another question that we always ask our authors is, what are you reading now? Or what is something that you've read and you're obsessed with? You can't stop talking about, everybody needs to read this book. Anything like that?
Yeah. So I have two books I'm reading now concurrently, and they're sort of related to, you know, what I write about. One is another male-male romance that just came out. It's called Best Men by Sydney Carger. And it is, I actually had to stop reading it because it was so funny. And it's a romance. It's a rom-com. Like, I actually, first of all, I was waking up my husband because I would read it in bed and I would like, and you know, he had to do this thing where you're like,
been there. Yeah.
You think you're quiet, but you're really not.
Like,
he's like,
what?
Hey,
up.
Can you just like go into the living room and read yeah. that? He has this way. He used to write for like Saturday Night Live and Comedy Central. And so, you know, it's like super funny. Not only is it romance, it's super funny. So I actually had to stop reading it because I don't know. I mean, I don't know if either of you write, but sometimes you read something, you're like, oh, I don't know how to write. When you read something yes, and it yes. just makes you feel like an imposter, you're like,
yes,
oh,
I'm
like, I'm bad. Like
that whip is terrible. I should yes. delete that yeah. draft nope.
right,
right now.
Exactly. That, yeah. yeah. And I had to stop. I had to stop reading it because it was making me feel terrible on my own writing. So I'm actually going to finish that now because I finished the manuscript for my second book, but which we could talk about later. But
yeah, we're
I love
coming
that
back
book.
To that. Oh, we're going to circle
we're,
around.
We're okay. coming back. Yeah.
And then the other book is not a rom-com, but it is a queer Filipino book, and it's YA, and it's called Chasing Pacquiao. And it's about it's about yeah. I don't know if you've seen
about
it.
About this recently.
I've seen it. It's on my TBR. I haven't gotten around
yeah,
to it, but
great. I mean, yeah. it's not lighthearted, it's not a rom-com. It is about a kid, a high school kid who is queer Filipino. He has a Filipino boyfriend, which absolutely, I'm just bonkers about. And he is getting basically like full on bullied, not like just like kind of bullied, but like full on bullied, right? And because he comes out and he learns to sort of defend himself by, you know, following Manny Pacquiao, who for many people, that's the most famous Filipino person that they know, Manny Pacquiao, the boxer. So he learns how to box. But then he learns about Manny Pacquiao's like homophobic stance because he's pretty homophobic.
Right.
So it's this question of, you know, what happens when you have this hero, and this happens to all of us. I think we follow someone, and then we realize, oh, there's something about them that is not good. You know, so how do you reconcile that? So I love that question, but I also love that it's about queer Filipino. Like,
yeah,
yeah,
yes.
It's just. I love this. It's, you know, it's happening. We got to put it out there in the world. So he's kind of a pub buddy of mine as well as Sid.
Yeah,
so
I love
yeah.
that.
I was having such like a, where did I hear this? I've mm-hmm. just heard about this book. Was it on y'all's panel?
Yeah.
That's
so.
Where it came up. That's where this book came up. Because I was like,
it's
just
really
heard
good.
About this book in like the last week. What is going
yeah.
on? And that's
it's,
why.
It's, yeah, it's been on my list. I just, the list
yeah.
is never
oh,
ending.
No,
you know?
The
it's just like.
And, the stack next to my bed, it's like comical. It's like, that's, yeah. it's not even.
You, like, you can't see behind me. There's a stack that goes up to like my
hips. Doom pile.
Like,
just
it's.
To, like, climb around.
And
it.
That's, it's literally. I have a stack up to like my hip bone that is just arcs.
Right.
Like, not even like the rest of my TBR.
And there's all the TV shows and movies and things like that we still have to watch. Like,
there's not enough time.
There's not enough
time. I know.
Time.
She actually still watches TV. And she's like, you have to watch this and this. The only thing I'm watching lately is Vanderpump Rules because I'm just Scandoval. I have to. But it's like, yes, I know, but I have to. You got to. She's like, want me to watch Kung Fu. And I'm like, I know, but I also have to catch up on Mrs. Maisel.
I have been trying more episodes for of 3 years to get her to watch Kung Fu.
I'm like, Not Queen Elizabeth. What's
Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Queen Charlotte.
I haven't seen that
is
yet,
out. I have to watch that. And it's like, and I have so many.
And you have to sleep and like go to the bathroom.
Yes. And work. I have to work.
Red work.
Ugh, work.
I'm like, Karen, I'm good if I finish all of my books I'm trying to read.
It's never, never ending. Yeah. Truly.
My TV gets turned on for 1 hour a week, and that's for Vanderpump.
Good for you. Good for you.
Okay, but you only have like 2 more episodes, and then you can start something else.
My TV's
okay?
taking a break. Yeah. Or Bravo's taking a break. I can watch something else. You're right. So I want to circle back to that book too you were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
What can you tell us about that?
Well, first of all, so I got a 2-book contract with Forever, and I really underestimated the time it would take to get the second book done. So I procrastinated and procrastinated. But the problem is like, this is my first book. So I just was just like, I wanted to really enjoy like everything that was happening with it, the edits, the copy edits, the publicity. And it was like, I couldn't, like my first child, like I couldn't have that and also work on the second one. So long story short, I've been working for like hours, you know, at night and before work and everything. And it's finally turned into my agent. So she gave me some comments, but it is called, and they wanted a title right away. It is called Karaoke Queen. And
already obsessed.
I need it on the title alone. Yeah.
It is about a reformed drag queen who is Filipino. And he used to, here's the story. He used to be a drag queen in college or in high school. He was like a closet, like Instagram queen who had a huge following. And then something happened. I won't spoil it, but something happened to make him stop. Okay. Aww. And then after that, he kind of reformed himself to be like really butch, really masculine, to really, you know, put that feminine side of him away. Okay. So like later he runs into an old flame of his who now is a bartender, and he's bartending at this bar that's failing. So he has this great idea to like start a karaoke night, and one thing leads to another, and he ends up having to host it. But the only way to get a lot of people, he realizes, is to bring back his drag persona. But he doesn't want his flame to know that he's a drag queen. So it's this kind of like comedy of errors thing, like Tootsie, like where he has to kind of be in two places at once to figure out like how to fool his flame. So what he does is he enlists a doppelganger, his frenemy, who kind of looks like him. He's also Filipino. And he has to teach him drag and how to look like him and impersonate him. And what happens to this frenemy is he kind of starts to like have feelings for him because he starts to fall in love with himself as a drag queen. Like he realizes how beautiful it is to be feminine and to like wear drag. And like, so it basically sets up this love triangle between him and his old flame and this frenemy who's impersonating him. And it's about embracing like what it means to be femme, what it means to be feminine and drag, and so yeah, and karaoke. So
so you said you finished the manuscript. I don't see it in my inbox. I'm gonna need that.
You're gonna need that pronto.
Estelle, okay, did you hear that?
Immediately after once you log off.
I'm
that
sure she
amazing.
Knows
amazing. Yeah. Oh my god, I love everything about that.
And there will be, I don't know, I mean, you've read all the right notes. That's a slow burn. This will have a little bit more sex in it. So just so you know. That's the one thing, too, where people are like, can we get a little bit more, like...
I am so, like, unashamed of how much how many sexy books I read. Like, the more sex, the better, in my opinion. Yeah. Give it to me. I'm okay with that. Yeah. I know there are people, and, like, good for you. It couldn't be me. Give me the sex. I'm here for it. I'm ready.
I got you. The funny thing is, because I was talking to Sid Karger, who I mentioned earlier, and we were both talking about how when men write about, now we're having more men write male-male romance, right? And when we write about it, there's like hardly ever any sex in it. Because It's like we are fully sexed. Like we get it. Like we already have it. Like we don't need to read about it. Like we want the slow burn romance.
Yeah.
But we get that, like, women who read the romance is going to want like the full details because they're not in on the, in the act. So they're going to want some, and I will give it to you in the second book.
I'm so excited. It like first of all, Ujima and All the Right Notes was amazing.
Oh, thanks.
Oh my God, obsessed. And I was like, I would love like some sort of like spin-off sequel kind of thing where they get
third book.
I'm just like, I need it. I need, and because there's like a little teaser. I don't know if you know this, but there's like a little teaser in your books talking about the second book. And I was like, is it going to be? And then I saw Drag Queen and I was like, wait. And then I was like, no,
it's not her, but no. Ugh, I can't believe I'm spoiling this, but she does show up in the second book.
Yes.
And my plan is that the third book will be about her. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
One of my favorite things is when authors connect their books.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so like cool, right?
The little like Easter eggs, because like
without it having to be like book one, right. Book two, book three.
They can
book
be like
four,
standalones, right. But you
that
get
is
like
so cool.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's just like it's like an inside joke. Like you're like, oh yeah. I see what you did there.
I mean, I think the thing about romance is that it doesn't really lend itself to like a three book series because you want to have the happy ending. So what are you gonna
right.
do, break them up right. in the second book and have and have them go through it again? You can't, so you sort of
right.
have to find a different way
right.
to weave those
that.
people, yeah, through
yeah. Well, and then with romance, I mean, I feel like romance is one of those genres where like, you know, they're getting a happy ending.
Yeah.
So like how did you navigate that? Like how do you keep it kind of like keep people guessing, like you know they're gonna get there, but how
yeah.
do you keep them guessing to how they're gonna get there?
Yeah. I are you asking me right
yes.
now? Yeah.
You specifically.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because in my first draft that I queried, my agent, because in the first draft, there's nothing that happens until the very, 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 very end. I mean, about them getting together. And my agent was like, they sort of need to get together before that. But the problem is if they get together before that, then what
there's
happens?
There's got to be some drama.
There's got to be
right.
drama. So she was the one who said, get them together, but then introduce something that pulls them apart. So I so appreciated that. And that's why I introduced, and I don't want to give things away, but so they do get together, but then something does pull mm-hmm. them apart. So they have to get back together again. It is tricky. Like you're right. I mean, and that's true for every romance book that I know of, that it's hard to wait until the end because you're just reading, you don't want to wait 330 pages for them to get together. But then if they get together, it's the moonlighting effect. It's like, it's done. Like it's
right.
what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why romance writers are so creative because they have to figure out a way to get around that. And I'm just always
guessing.
Yeah.
In that way, I'm constantly like, I read a lot of romance. I'm constantly mm-hmm. like amazed because like, I feel like writing romance is really difficult because you do have to navigate that. Like people know how it's going to end. Essentially, you have to do something that keeps them guessing, even though
yeah.
they know where it's going to end. And in that way, I feel like it rivals like things like fantasy that are there's world building, but like romance is still hard, man.
Yeah.
It's still hard.
It is hard. It is hard. Especially because, you know, how many love stories are there? You know, I mean, there isn't really an infinite number. It's just there's kind of, you know, two or three kinds of love stories, like tropes or whatever. But you have to find a way to make them all feel different, especially, you know, in your own stories. So,
yeah,
for sure.
You have to work to make them stand out.
Yeah,
for sure.
All right. Well, I
never really thought about that.
Sorry. No, that's okay. This is the part where Mandy just apologized, but she's not apologizing for this next part.
No.
I will pretend to apologize, but I don't actually feel bad. But I regret to inform you that now that you have been here for one book, you are legally obligated to come back for all future books.
okay, fine.
We don't make the rules, we just enforce them. Sorry.
Yeah. With these hands.
Yes. But no, seriously, like the second book sounds amazing. If the third book's got Ujima, I'm sold. Like we would love
and
to
already.
Have you come back. Yeah, like
yeah,
honestly, after the first one, I'm like, just come back and hang out with us. Like
yeah.
you don't even have to have a book. If you want to just come out, come and hang out with us. Did we have No, those are all of our like standard questions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I was like, hold on. My brain is not working. It's been a long day.
It's on brand. We're incoherent.
Right. Yeah.
That's right. It's built in.
It's like
the excuse is built in.
Yeah.
It truly is. It's just
we
like
we rely heavily on it a lot.
We do. We rely heavily on it. It's like if we don't make sense, we already told you that was what you were getting yourself yeah. into. So
yeah.
It was so much fun to have you
I
here
know.
And
my
talk about
face
this.
Hurts.
I'm like, my cheeks are like it's so much smiling, so much laughing. My like my stomach, I'm gonna get abs from all the laughing.
I'll give you a good workout.
Yes.
Yes.
But everybody go pick up a copy of All the Right Notes. It is out. This episode comes out on the 2nd, so you have like 4 days to wait. It comes out on June 6th. But you probably, I don't know, some Barnes and Nobles put them out early. So
I saw that. Yeah.
I saw one already. Yeah. It was in like New York, right?
Mm-hmm. Aaron, who's the narrator, he showed me that and I was like, what's going on?
Everybody go get a copy, All the Right Notes. It's fantastic. It made me so happy. Don't read it on an empty stomach. It will make you hungry.
Have all the food
ready. I really really
that's
need
a trend
to go find...
I love too.
Yeah. I really need to go hungry. Find like a good Filipino restaurant because I just need all the food now.
Oh God. Yeah. Yes.
But thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us. It's so much
fun.
Ooh.
So much fun.
Yeah, thank
this
you.
This has been awesome.
It has been a blast. I'm looking forward to the next time.
Okay, great. I will see you for the next book.
Alrighty.
We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye. Bye. I love him.
I love him so much.
Oh
I'm obsessed. I'm a
I
fan for life.
So
obsessed.
Forever. And obsessed.
Oh my gosh. Karaoke I loved
queen.
His little smile.
I love him.
I'm karaoke queen. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but like I haven't talked to him in a while, but like if you think about like Lifetime, one of my best friends is a drag queen.
What?
Yeah.
What?
His name is Marcus and his like drag name was Marcella. I don't know if he's done it lately, but for a while he was like pretty big in the Atlanta scene. He did some drag shows here. We joked about him going to my wedding in drag, but he didn't.
My
instead.
God.
He was in my wedding, so. We were like, if you go in drag, you'll upstage me. And
that's not allowed.
I'm gonna be the bride. I probably wouldn't have told him no. It was him saying like,
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I want more drag queen stories.
I know. Yeah.
Oh, God. Like, it just occurred to me that I haven't read enough of them. And now I want more.
Yeah. Give me all of them.
Authors okay. of the world.
Hello. Give me some drag stories.
Some drag stories would be great. Thanks.
Thank you. What are you anticipating? Summer break.
Oh my God. I opened my laptop and a calendar alert popped up and it's like summer break starts tomorrow. And I was like, yeah, it does.
Yes, it does.
It's a 3-day weekend. And even better, I work from home tomorrow. Then I have 3 days off. And then Tuesday, I also work from home. So I will be home for 5 glorious
yes.
days. I know technically I'm working 2 of them, but I'm going to be home for
right.
5 glorious days in a row. So I'm looking forward to that.
That is
That's
really
exciting for me. It is very exciting. I think that's pretty much it. Yeah. When this episode comes out on the 2nd, Once Upon a Book Club is dropping the Romanticy Volume 2 box on their website. And I'm like, well, how to order that? Because you can't have one without the other. So I'm excited for that. But otherwise, I'm just looking forward to having 5 days at home where I don't have to get dressed. Though on Sunday in Palo Alto, they are doing AAPI Heritage Day. And it's supposed to be like this big thing. I've never been to it. I hadn't heard of it until Linden Tree's newsletter went out and they're like, hey, we're gonna be at this. You should come. And I went, okay, first of all, I fucking love Linden Tree because they sent this out. I went and they're like, you have to get a free ticket to go in, right? So you have to have a ticket to enter. Mm-hmm. And so I went and I was like, they're sold out. And I'm like, hey, Grace, can I come in with you guys? And Aww. she's like, I won't be there, but here's somebody else. I talked to this other person. She said just to call or text them when you get there and she'll walk you in. And I was like,
oh.
I will do whatever work y'all, if you guys want me to work for you guys a little bit, I will happily volunteer my time.
Yeah.
I just want to come hang out. So yeah, it's funny because I was texting Grace and she was like, I won't be able to go because I'm going to this other thing. It's like a personal thing in South San Jose. And I was like, ma'am, I live in South San Jose. We are ships passing in the night.
Yeah.
She's like, well, that's sad. I was like, I know. We're going to have to plan like a play date or something. My kid has been like, mommy, can we please go to Linden Tree so I can see Auntie Grace so I can show her my creation? And I was just like,
one day.
She apparently is a big fan of Auntie Grace. And you know what? I don't blame her. She's pretty cool. Yeah. So, so other than that, I don't have to put on pants.
I'm
going
to need you in that 3-day weekend to put on pants and go see Guardians of the Galaxy, Karen. I don't know who you are.
I am very overwhelmed with books. There's a lot.
I need you to spend 3 hours away from books.
It's a long time, says the person who has not watched a TV show that I've been trying to get her to watch for 3 years
Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, it's only the first primetime television show to feature a predominantly Asian cast.
And I will get to that. But this is a Marvel movie.
I'll get there before Secret Invasion comes out next month.
I don't know if I believe you.
I don't know if I believe me either.
I can't believe you.
Listen, to be fair, I'm blaming Chris Pratt because Chris Pratt, he's a good person to blame.
Karen Gillan.
Shut up if you love Karen Gillan.
I know. She's there.
She's amazing. I fucking love her so much.
Yeah.
She's the best. Anyways, what are you looking forward to? I don't want to put on pants, Mandy.
We'll wear a dress. So I booked a little 4-day getaway because of a long weekend around my birthday. I want to go to the beach. All I want is to be near a beach, but it's a long weekend in the summer. Beach, Airbnbs, pricing skyrockets, and everything is packed. So we're going to Memphis for 4 days. I don't know if we'll do Graceland or not because I have been and it's like $170 a person to go inside now. From what I looked at, I need to look again to make sure because that does not seem very real. $170 a person for a tour seems a little excessive. So I'm looking forward to that. And I got a pretty exciting beta read recently that I'll be reading soon. I couldn't believe you didn't say anything.
I do. Well,
we can't say what.
Yes.
But yeah, we have also a pretty exciting book to read. So I'll probably get to that this weekend.
I'm not sure that I'm ready mentally. Yeah.
And then I talked about it last week, my cousin's graduation and my niece's wedding in 2 days. we had the graduation party tonight. I got to hang out with my family for a little bit, but now I'm excited to see her graduate, which is crazy because she was a baby when I was in high school. Like,
yeah.
I distinctly remember there was one night where like my high school boyfriend was over and we had like her and her little brother spending the night. And so like, I distinctly remember it because I had a futon and we were just sitting on my futon and like she was playing on the floor and all of a sudden she just like rolled over and we thought it was like the most amazing thing. It was like she just rolled over. Oh my god. And now she's graduating. Gosh. It's insane.
That's bonkers.
Actually insane. Yeah.
Very
so
exciting.
That's that. And then I'm looking forward to it being June. Best month of the year.
Happy birthday preemptively to Mandy.
Thank you.
Everybody, make sure the entire month of June you are sending happy birthday vibes to Mandy.
To me and Adam Silvera.
And Adam Silvera. I was getting there. I wasn't going to let it go without mentioning him. We like to invoke the name of Adam Silvera as much as possible. It's fun. Anyways.
Yeah.
I think it's time for a spiel.
Yeah, it's time for our last spiel of the
half
year.
Season. All right. Let me open back my notes because apparently I still need those.
While you're doing that, I can show the patrons my sleeping baby girl next to me. She actually, when you were talking about, I can't remember what part earlier, she jumped up on my desk and was just standing here looking at me. So I had to like reach up and give her chin scratches.
Oh,
now she's gang gang and she's gonna lay here with me.
Look at her.
That's the show dog 2.0. Tallulah.
Wait, is she two or is Harry two? And you have too many dogs.
Oh, I don't know.
There's too many show
in
dogs.
In age, it goes George Bailey, Tallulah, Zuzu, and Harry.
But in appearance on the podcast,
she's three, I think.
I don't know. Listeners, if you know, let us know.
Let us know.
In the meantime, if you liked this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. And please make sure to do the subscribe, especially because if you are like me and you forget things, the podcast people will tell you when a new episode comes back, which will be August 25th. So you'll get a little reminder of that. You don't have to remember all on your own. You can also follow us on social media. We're on Instagram and TikTok at The Incoherent Fangirl and Twitter at Incoherent Girls, even though we hate Twitter. It's a scary place.
Boo! Twitter.
Please like our Facebook page and then head over to the website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream all of our episodes, as well as read our blog, which has many reviews of many books and will continue to have many reviews to come. And if you are so inclined, you would like to see our beautiful faces because we're very cute. You can see Mandy very diligently working on something while I'm doing this spiel.
I'm trying to set up our coupon code for the searchers, believe, so that I can give us one, but it didn't work. So
this is a good time. Yeah. Anyways, if you would like to see us as well as listen to us, you can subscribe to our Patreon. Go to theincoherentfangirl.com/Patreon to sign up. You could get early access as well as access to the video episodes of each episode.
You could have seen me trying to get a coupon code set up, but it was not working.
She had a very concentrated face.
I was trying.
You have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, you just want to let us know that we're pretty, we will accept all of that. Send us an email, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all. And a final way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. We would love that as well. And she
with your
is
words.
At Mandy. All the words. We love words. We love words here. She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
And she's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you have followed us on social media, you followed the podcast on social media, you can do some self-care and visit our internet besties, do some shopping. Head over to herecomesthenerd.com, use code FANGIRL to get 20% off your first order.
Then, after you've got all of those goodies, you're going to need something to read. So head over to onceuponabookclub.com, get a box, get a book by itself, get some goodies, use code MANDY10 for 10% off.
And then you're going to need something that will bring you comfort. And what is more comforting than a nice warm cup of tea?
Nothing. Literally nothing.
Really, really. You're going to head over to grimoiretea.com and use code FANGIRLTEA to get 10% off your order. But remember, there's no I in fangirl. It's FANGRLTEA. And we will let you know when we come back the new website, because I'm sure by then there will be a new one.
Right. Last but not least, you're going to need the Fire and Starlight Saga. I feel it like I'm beating a dead horse at this point, but trust me, listen to, we are your mothers. Listen to us, amberdlewis.com. Use code FANGIRL10 for 10% off your purchase. And by the time that we get back, I will have I'm going to do it tonight, a searcher's coupon code. I'm going to figure it out. I'll post it so that you can use it over the summer.
And it will be added to this episode description.
I just don't know what it's gonna be yet to say it.
But it'll be there. I will add it to the episode description of this episode, and we'll post it to our social media as well, so that you will have it to use over the summer, well before we come back and beyond.
Yep, it'll
and
be there.
Also, please remember that we will lie for you.
Yeah,
if somebody is judging your spending habits, just let them know that you won a contest. We sent it to you. It's a gift.
Like I said last week, if you need a graphic, I can get in Canva really quick and you won. Congrats.
Congratulations. We had to archive the post. I'm so sorry. We just didn't want to confuse anybody.
But I can also, we could totally send you a congrats, you won DM too.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you need.
All of the things.
We are your girl gang. We got your back.
Yes, forever.
Ever.
I think that was the
incoherent fangirl.
We're done.
We're the this is the end of season 2, part 1. We'll see you in August. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for sticking with us. This has been
It has wild. Been a blast. And
there is more to come. There's so much more to come.
So much more great things to come. We're very excited. I'm so excited for the fall.
I am too. Because we've already got some new besties coming up that will have new coupon codes to share. Not just searchers. And we may
we got some things up our
sleeves. Okay, authors lined up.
Okay, listen, neither of us has sleeves right now, but we've got some stuff up our sleeves.
Oh no.
this was unintentional.
Outfit choice.
But we have some things that are lining up. So
stay tuned, babies.
Thank you for sticking with us. It has been a blast, and we'll see you in August. We love you.
We love you. Bye.
Bye. Millennial hearts.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.